Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's a lie.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
What are you doing?
Trying to lure in a stinky hairy beast.
You dumb sentient bidet. You are just knocking on the table.
It worked.
Ha, huh, sick burn.
You know, I can't. I cannot with them today. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, via an Einstein-Rosen bridge to parts unknown Colorado, we are your hosts and lead cryptozoologists this week on a trek back into the wild once again to find the elusive Bigfoot.
That is right, kind sir. I'm Brent Hand. He's David Flora, the man you just heard from parts unknown, and the bots are here as well.
You're welcome.
I built C-Bot here to help research and produce the show, and instead, he just kind of produces those knocking sounds and snark for the most part.
Again, you are welcome.
Want to hear my Bigfoot call?
Oh, everything inside me is screaming no, so yes?
Well, there it is, and you asked for it.
Man. I take full responsibility.
Yes, well, you should, sir. You don't
I have
learn.
To live with this now.
Moving on, Tyler Transu and Chris Rupert of Dockside Media make their triumphant return to the lower fourth this week to talk their new documentary, Secrets of Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. Secrets of Sasquatch.
That's exactly what I said. If you will, Mr. Flora, hit us with the description, good sir.
Sure thing. From the mountains of New Mexico to the remote wilderness of Pennsylvania, embark on the journey of a lifetime as experiencers, investigators, and anthropologists reveal all with unique encounters, insights, and knowledge to uncover the secrets of the Sasquatch.
Why is Sasquatch so endearing? Why is he or she or they seem to be the cryptid of cryptids, so to speak? Like, what's the – why does it catch everyone's imagination instead of insert whatever? You know, I mean, there's a lot of Mothman fans, but it's just not the same.
I mean, for one thing, it's super hard to fly in a Mothman suit. but it's not that hard to put on a gorilla suit and go traipsing around getting shot at.
I see what you're getting at there, sir. I smell what you're stepping in.
But, I mean, you know, there's tons of reasons why this thing persists. You can link it to a lot of old lore, native stuff. It's all over the world.
Teddy Roosevelt tried to find him. You know, there's a lot of Teddy Roosevelt fans out there.
Wrestled one, lost, and promised then to he made a pact to keep it secret, keep it safe.
You son of a bitch, but I like your style.
He's like, if you can pin me to the count of three, then I will never say of this encounter to anyone. Bully, bully, bully. Where's my whiskey?
That's a presidential speak right there.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Harumph, harumph. Oh,
give the governor a harumph.
I agree. I think it's like, it's also the one that seems like it could be. You know what I mean?
Sure, there's plenty of places to hide.
Oh my gosh, yeah, right? Yeah. You know, and as we find out, you know, we find new species all the time, and some of the bigger species out there haven't really been known. They've been known but not found true until not that long ago, case in point, the giant panda. It leaves enough of that maybe, you know, yeah, and that wonder in people's hearts that it really feels like it could be a thing. So that's why there are so many documentaries and TV shows and people out there, you know, doing their Bigfoot calls and the Bobos of the world and moneymakers, you know, making money off these things. And it's great to have Tyler and Chris back on the show to talk this. We had them on before. They were absolutely a blast. So we're going to do a quick break and pay some bills. And we come back, Chris and Tyler join us to talk the secrets of Seam Squatch. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I got a call the other day, David, and they said, not a call, but an email, one of those in the 80s. They said, you're not using the bell enough. So,
wow.
Trying to use the bell. but I was ringing that bell as a welcome back to Chris and Tyler from Dockside Media. Gentlemen, welcome back to Hysteria 51.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
I didn't know if you were putting the crowd cheer in post or if you need us to do it. So we were both waiting, but yeah, dude, we're stoked to be
Hysteria
here.
Hysteria 51 is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
That's right. Sounds like you take feedback. And put it into play really quickly.
So, now piss on those people. I don't listen to shit. No, no, we love it.
Brent makes all this up in his head, so it looks like we care, I guess.
Just my wife is the one sending me the we have a comment card, a little slot suggestion box at home that she puts stuff into.
Your wife does that too. Yeah, right. Does that.
So, gentlemen.
I'm sure she'd do it.
Things got sad.
Would it be enough just as we talked last? You were here for Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure, not too long ago, and now you're hitting us with Secrets of the Sasquatch.
Secrets of the Sasquatch. Dude, this is our third documentary, by the way. We had another one come out in the interim as well called The Ghosts of Gettysburg, which is actually doing really well on Amazon and all the platforms that it's available on. I think we just kind of thought Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure was going to be the one that people would really latch onto because it seems like, you know, aliens.
Yeah.
That niche has a huge following. And then we put out The Ghosts of Gettysburg and we're like, well, you know, people like Gettysburg in the area, at least they'll be interested. But that one actually did really well. It was on the top of Amazon at one point for a few weeks and stuff. So we're really happy.
Well, congratulations, right?
That's congrats.
Man. Yeah.
Thanks, man. So I don't know if we're trying to think that Secrets of the Sasquatch is going to smash it and get a million views, or if we want to lowball it with only 100,000, and then we end up pleasantly surprised.
Right. Well, I tell you what, there are a ton of shows out there about ghosts and stuff, but there's a ton of Sasquatch hunting shows out there too.
Oh, so yeah, sure.
Maybe a lot of that is like, you know, you get into one of those things and then you start Googling and looking online and listening to things like, here's more. Cause I do that. Who doesn't go down these rabbit holes?
Oh, definitely.
Riddle me this though, Brent, how many of those other Sasquatch documentaries were made by Dockside Media?
Right. a big fat goose egg on that, so fuck them, right?
That is the thing though with the shit,
so we got a leg up
with the creative stuff. How many ideas, like, there's everything has been done before, but you got to find your own voice and bring your own spin to this kind of stuff. So that's what we try and do at Dockside Media. You know,
absolutely,
we have a very specific vision with Tyler and I, and we're the creative force behind it. So we hope we make something that's a little bit different. Definitely entertaining, right, and compelling. And I think so far we've been doing a really good job at that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and I know you were going down these world of the weird with, you know, you had your aliens, the ghosts, the Sasquatch, but was it just because we wanted to do something on Sasquatch? Is that why? Or had you had experiences? Why Sasquatch? Why Bigfoot? Why Yeti? You know, fill in your your term you like there. What was the draw for you guys?
Your bipedal hominid. For making this documentary. That's the answer you might have been looking for. But dude, it was, man, just kind of like everything else with Dockside Media, destiny, fate, man. It found us more than we found it. I think the seed was planted when I had interviewed Sue Walker, who was in Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure.
Yep.
She's the clairvoyant, medical, intuitive, telepathically.
And she's a force in this one, too.
Oh, yeah.
So she's in this. And back then, somehow during just me being in her presence, somehow Sasquatch had come up. And I think it may have been if she was referencing them being interdimensional or telepathic. I can't remember the exact thing, but long story short, yeah, a few weeks later, Chris and I just kind of manifested it. And then, yep, we went and got all the interviews. And what I like, you know, what I like about what Chris and I do with these documentaries is like, dude, we don't claim to be the experts in any of this stuff. So we're relying on these experiencers. So we have some great people like Randy Smith, Eric Hubbard, Alfred Martinez, you know, who a bunch of them, Tom Nutter, they're like experienced woodsmen and hunters. So, you know, they know what a deer, bear, squirrel, raccoon, all these things sound and look like. So it's great to get their professional opinions. And then same deal, we got the anthropologist, Tom Carey. So we have like a scientific and academic perspective behind it. And then also Sue Walker. So we have more of like the woo side, perhaps, of Sasquatch. So I think we do, you know, a really good job of hopefully presenting maybe some new information to people in a way that they, you know, have something to think about.
Well, that was a fun thing while watching it is everyone is kind of in on it, as in everyone has feels they're out there, they're looking for Sasquatch, but you have people from all these different walks of life. And that came through really nicely from the guy who wanted to go out in the woods and just try to find it to the people that have had these experiences to Sue, who is her own animal. Let's talk Sue for a minute, because it was, I was, when I saw her pop on, I'm like, the return of Sue. You know, for those of you listening that might not be familiar, or if you haven't caught her previously, she is an experiencer and a telepath, and she shares messages she says she receives from extraterrestrials on Twitter. She has her own Twitter account, just pumping these things out. How would you guys sum up Sue? Because she's a character.
She's definitely a character, but she's super interesting and super genuine. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. And that's what comes through with her. So we actually talk about that because, you know, we're concerned of like, well, we're using the same person in this documentary. And it's like, well, but she's actually really good with a lot of interesting things and a really interesting perspective and take. So we'd actually be doing a disservice by not including her just because, you know, we're afraid of overlapping, having the returning hosts and guests or whatever. So I met Sue on podcast, never in person, but the sense I get is that she is an extremely friendly, down-to-earth person who just has had an interesting life and interesting experiences and is completely genuine in everything she says. And she seems to have a really good heart and really good intentions. So that's right. My perspective. Tyler's actually spent a lot more time with her.
Yeah. I mean, dude, if she wasn't talking about extraterrestrials and Sasquatch, she'd be your grandma.
Right. Like, that's what she comes off. Right. Yeah.
She would just be like, hey, can I get you anything to eat? You know, do you want anything to drink?
P.S. Here's a crystal. Put this in your pocket.
Tomatoes come up since you were last here. You know, she's just very like, just really, really hospitable and nice and down to earth and genuine. And yeah, like, I don't know. All this stuff just kind of seems like fate because for the listeners out there who follow her Twitter account at Sandia Wisdom, you see, man, she's like got a bunch of Sasquatch artwork and drawings that she's done as well. And before making, like, I didn't recall seeing that before. I think if you go back and check, you know, like the history of the account, they would have been on there, you know, at some point before. And I just didn't even see that. So yeah, it's just a beautiful thing how this all came together. And she's a super great woman. I would encourage people to, reach out to her and talk to her, man. She loves to make time for everybody.
I was super stoked that you guys had her on because one of the things that we've talked about in here, and I know David and I have personally talked about, is the whole idea of Sasquatch not being, you know, of this world or multidimensional or, you know, have something to do with extraterrestrials. And a lot of the documentaries or shows that talk Bigfoot kind of leave that out. And I don't know if they're scared to talk about it or the people that they're talking to are are just not bringing that up. But then she talks, I mean, she talked about how Sasquatch travels with star people. They're advanced because they're not advances in they have technology. They're advanced because they take care of one another. They are more of a empathetic, if you might want to call it that way, creatures than us. And they're durable. They're smart. And then, you know, other people go, well, if they're so smart, why are they shitting in woods and raiding tents? And that's an argument for another day. But she just talks about how they're just kind of beyond us. They can step through the fabric of realities and stuff. And they're telepathic. That was kind of a fun thing. And they have a sense of humor. It's just fun to hear that, because so many shows, I know as we research this stuff, that is something that people talk about. But documentaries and shows don't touch on it.
Yeah, I hear you there. I mean, and that's kind of one of the things that I find so endearing about her, is that she's just so upfront and honest and sincere. She's like strong in her beliefs. You know what I mean? She doesn't care if you don't believe her or not. Mm-hmm. She's just going to tell you her opinion. And, you know, there's not too many people out there like that. Like, a lot of people will walk on eggshells or try and appease people out there. They're afraid of the stigmatism being associated with something like that and these ideas. And so I don't care. Our goal here is to just present these stories and these experiences in what we think are interesting and compelling ways. So it's up to the viewer to make an opinion. And if the people say, well, I don't believe any of that, blah, 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 that's on them. Like, they don't have to. We're just presenting this in a way.
If Sasquatch are interdimensional, extraterrestrial, something of that realm, it definitely it helps explain a lot. Like,
yeah, the
as lack far as of sightings go,
for sure. Yeah,
you know, like, it just footsteps being one place and then just stopping and disappearing. And certainly before Chris and I started Dockside Media and making these paranormal documentaries, if somebody asked me, "Hey, do you think Sasquatch exists?" I would have said, "I think there's a good chance." You know, there's some large primate that could go undetected and as you know, lived on for all these years. But now, certainly after doing all these interviews and meeting all these people and researching the topic more, I think the interdimensional extraterrestrial angle, is definitely very probable as well.
There's also like the hubris of our humanity to think that we understand and know everything. And while something sounds a little bit outlandish right now, based on our world experiences, come back to me in 20 years and talk to me about the technology differences. You know what I mean? Right. 20, 30 years ago, the world was completely different. And sure, we have some of foresight into what we think will take off and become huge things. But like, the internet has just completely reshaped the world.
Look at 2000 society compared to now, and the advancements and our phones and our way of life is just nothing like it was. And we are progressing faster now than we were in those 20 years. Yeah. That's I don't know if it's scary. I don't know. Well, it sure is fascinating. To me. And then what's that going to open our eyes to out there, like things like this that we're not fully grasping right now?
They just turned on CERN again, so maybe we'll get there. Maybe we'll take another leap.
They turned on CERN and already found three previously unknown particles.
Tyler sent me that like an hour ago.
Including like terra quarks and all this stuff. Maybe they're going to jostle us back to the right timeline and all this
that's
stuff.
That's the hope,
dude,
right?
That stuff just, I read that and like my little peanut-sized brain can't even comprehend. Yeah, I'm just like, dude, it's saying two or three of these beauty quarks equal one proton or neutron or something. I'm like, wait, what? Like, this is just crazy. We're getting so advanced that we keep going smaller and smaller. I remember class back in high school, like, okay, well, we got electrons, protons, neutrons. And even then, I believe now that whole model of like how, what was it? The electron wrote, it was in a cloud surrounding, the neutron and proton or something like that. Like, hasn't that been proven wrong? Like, oh, dude, however we would all envision.
Right. They keep finding smaller and smaller structures. Yeah. And how small does it go? And, you know, and that's Well, that's
I think one day they're going to get so small that they're going to zoom in on their own laboratory and see them from the back. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of, just how crazy things are, one of the things you mentioned this that makes sense, but I didn't know, is 46% of the world's land is still wilderness.
Dude, that is, isn't that that? And we talked about this before on other podcasts, but I'm always fascinated by that. Like, there are so many places in this world where we really haven't been, the bottom of the ocean. Like, people always bring that up because it's so obvious, but there's so many deep woods. And you go out into the woods nowadays and I don't see anything, but you know there's a million animals and creatures around you. So just go out hundreds of miles into this wilderness where no one lives. Like, there's things out there. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you talked about in the documentary how they're finding constantly animals. Still, we're killing off animals at an exponential rate, which is terrible. Yep. But they're also still finding in 2022, every year over and over, dozens and dozens and dozens of previously unknown animals, or finding animals that they thought were extinct for decades or hundreds of years, and then it shows up at a meat market in some some country, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we've been eating that forever." You know, it's crazy. And speaking of the world, like, where all did you travel to do this? What all places were you covering?
I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, out in that area, Western Pennsylvania, Northeast Pennsylvania, and then the one gentleman, Tom Nutter, we didn't get footage or go there, but he had experiences down in West Virginia. So, we have like a good coverage, of the United States and these experiencers. I love, real quick, backing up, dude, like scale and size, mm-hmm. like it always trips me out. Like going back to that 46% of the world, right, is like covered in wilderness. And like, I remember that fact about like the entire world's population could fit in LA, shoulder to shoulder, mind you.
Right.
But that's crazy, right? Like,
right.
Holy cow, dude. I can't even.
That's a hard thing to grasp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you think about how big the world is, oh, there's so many people. Nobody will ever watch Secrets of the Sasquatch. It's like, bro, if I can get everybody in LA shoulder to shoulder and then show them a giant billboard. Yeah, man.
Right.
Everybody will get to see it. And another thing that's real crazy, dude, that I had read recently is about like holograms. Right. Mm-hmm. And that if somebody wants to Wikipedia after listening, but it's real interesting how you shine a light on a mirror, et cetera, and there's this type of medium or film, and it gets the reflection of the object, blah, 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 and that casts onto this film. But, dude, did you know, so if you have, like, a hologram, this film, you shine a light through it, you see the whole 3D image, whoa, that's crazy. Any tiny piece you break off of that, and you shine a light through it, you see the entire image. It's not just a little piece. You see because the entire
refracts the whole thing type.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Like, because that when it captures it, it's capturing, I guess, the light from mm-hmm. every single angle. So so the image is stored in each piece of it. So I'm just like, wait, what?
And we use that so Tupac can dance and sing on stage with people.
Through that. Yeah, dude. But so I love all this to your credit about earlier, like, man, yeah. In another 100 years, where are we going to be, man? Right. What are we going to know? It's unfathomable.
If we don't kill each other first.
Right. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. If we don't kill each other first.
I mean, I think it goes down to like a lot of evolution with humanity. And how we started out was like, you know, hunter gatherers. And we're just kind of like trying to survive moment to moment. So we have a hard time understanding scale, I think. So like, there's those visuals of like, well, this is actually what $1 million looks like or whatever. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? And when you mm-hmm. see it visually presented in front of you, you're like, oh, wow, that's actually bigger than my mind was thinking it was. Same with time. Just think about like how long the dinosaurs were alive for and how long humanity's been alive for. It's like a blink of a second comparatively. So I think just like in general, we're as a species just so busy day to day, just trying to, at this point, you know, work and take care of our families and survive and stuff. But like, our minds has never really had that ability to like comprehend these huge numbers and scales like that.
Well, and also we're so ingrained in us to go chug along and take care of your family and work and stuff that some of these things like, well, like you're talking about in Secrets of the Sasquatch and the UFOs and ghosts and stuff like that, people don't have time for it. They think, so they don't allow their brains to even think about it. And then that's why science, a lot of times, people want to go out and research this stuff and they get ridiculed or heckled or things. Mm-hmm. And then there's no real, unfortunate scientific method and scientific research being done on these outlier things because of the fact that people get ridiculed and things like that. And it's, sure. it's a terrible thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of scale, I missed the word you guys used, but in the show they talked about tiny Sasquatch, like 2 foot tall. Was it Woodbin? Do you remember? Yeah. I'd never heard of those. What? So is that like an all over thing also, like the tiny Sasquatch, or is that just in like some areas? Cause David, had you heard of that before?
Or is it like Native American folklore, like Pukwudgie or something?
None of the other people we interviewed mentioned that term. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the interesting things in talking to these people that are, you know, seemingly all over the place. Same thing with Conscious Contact and stuff, where they're like talking about similar subjects, but they all have their own like names and stuff for these things. So I hadn't heard that one before. The thing that immediately popped in my head was like an Ewok style right. thing. I mean, it just comes to your mind. I do think it's heavily influenced by Native American culture. Cause a lot of her, you know, experiences is with those cultures in that area.
David, what was the Pukwudgie? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Pukwudgie's, I think it's a lot of northeastern New England type of lore of Native Americans, little guys that kind of look like walking hedgehogs, but they're like 1-2 feet tall. And, you know, they're also kind of fae-like in that they're very mischievous, but you don't want to mess with them. You know, if you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone kind of thing.
Like my wife. Yeah, that makes sense. You leave her alone, she'll usually leave you alone. But
she is very spiky.
Don't poke the bear, I feel you.
One of the things that always amazes me in these is you have people like Gentleman Alfred. He was talking about he's hunting and 800 yards away, which is a long way away. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, he sees a black mass on a rock. And he has, you know, he sees it stand up and he realizes that it's larger than the rock. And he gets to the rock and he realizes that the rock's like the size of an SUV. So this thing was like 8 foot tall. 20 years goes by and he's still researching. Like, these people have an experience and either you chalk it up to or it grips their life. This guy's going out all the time and now he's on the show. He's speaking on their social hierarchy and how alpha males, you know, their governing patterns of their clans and their cave systems and parenting roles. I mean, they cover all this stuff and it just amazes me how people can devote their lives because of an experience, how powerful an experience can be to one person that someone else might shrug off. And that's always crazy. And I'm glad that you guys can find these people that can speak on these things that had such powerful experiences in their life.
Yeah. And it's really interesting, man. I love like, I just love like Alfred, his story and also Randy Smith. You know, these are the types of guys that, yeah, like if a nuclear bomb goes off, like, dude, I'm heading with them out in the woods. Like, I know
right.
they'll keep me alive. Like Randy, dude, we're camping out at the spot where he's had these encounters and sightings. You know, it's like mid-20s, freezing cold, starts snowing out. We hear a gunshot, you know, not terribly far off at like 10, 11 at night. And his first reaction is, I bet Bob got a deer. Man, I need to go. I feel like I need to go help him gut that. And then, you know, it's just what you do up here.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe I'll get a backstrap or something. Dude, like, it's just, it's so, I don't know. It's just so, like, it is compelling to me when I meet these people and I can tell, like, oh, dude, no, these aren't some BSers or people who like to go out in the woods occasionally. Like, nah, they're full-blown hunters and woodsmen, man. That's what they know. And so like you said, man, it is crazy for Alfred to have that experience and still, man, and it just, yeah, propel him to lead the life that he's lived. And then all the research he's done, I like his, now I don't watch a ton of Sasquatch and Bigfoot content, but that was the first I had heard about, well, typically if you see a Sasquatch, it's alone because it's like an alpha male who's been, you know, dethroned
or whatever. Yeah.
From like that cast or that family. I was just like, whoa, okay, wow. That would explain a lot as well.
Yeah, I had never heard that before. And that was why he said they live in like cave systems and things like that. And those ones are the cast offs. Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at why we only see everyone only sees
How did you guys get in touch with these experiencers so that they could share the story? And were any did you get in touch with any who weren't willing to share?
We have a couple approaches when we try and find people to speak on things. One, like if we're doing a very specific topic and there's already some experts in the field, we'll usually try and reach out to them via social media or, you know, email or whatever and see if they have any interest. But for something like Secrets of the Sasquatch, and for one, we're doing this actual upcoming weekend, which is Ghosts in the Graveyard, Pure Pandemonium. We're going to be filming some of that this weekend. We actually put the call out and try and get people who have had experiences, who have interest in the subject matter, to come and do these kind of things with us. So for Secrets of the Sasquatch, we did two campouts to try and, you know, see if we could find anything. But during those campouts, it's like a great opportunity to learn about how these people investigate and talk to them in the woods and all that kind of stuff. So we put the call out, and Randy Smith was one of those people, Eric Hubbard, another one of those people who came out on those campouts. And so Tyler can speak more onto that because he was actually involved there. But that's kind of how we approach these things. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was cool seeing that. And I'm sure, Tyler, you were involved in that. When he's putting out like cans and glow sticks and trying to get, you know, things. Was it, he thought that the glow sticks, they were hanging them from string up in the air. Did he think that they'd be attracted to it to break it so they could see if it went through there? Or what was the thought process with that?
We were trying to see if we could like see movement at night, if we would see those glow sticks move. Swing. They were somewhat further from camp than we had anticipated when we put them up during the day. But so we'd like, we were going up and like watching to see if we could see movement. The cans would have made noise. Eric Hubbard, again, very unique story with how he found his way into the documentary, replying to a post, you know, and like get there, like get to this camp out. And he's like, yeah, man, my wife can't believe I came. She's like, what are you doing? You hate people.
I thought that was funny. He's right? Like, I don't like people, but here I am.
Man, I'm like, oh my God, dude, this like he, but he felt drawn or compelled to go. And same deal. Like, I think 5 years ago, he grew up in Baltimore, right? Inner city Baltimore. And he had this interest or passion for Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And he moved out to, up to like, I think around York, Pennsylvania or something like that. And then just started going out in the woods. And man, he showed up with all these great, just great ideas and great, the thermal camera. It's amazing what somebody can teach themselves, like if they really enjoy something and keep doing it.
Right.
And he's a great example of that.
Podcasting.
Yeah. Oh man. So one of the things that was brought up, and David and I have talked about this in so many things, whether it be a lot of it was with UFOs, aliens, things like this, telepathy. They Sue talked about how they're telepathic, and we've talked about why is it that whenever you have something that's telepathic, they're always fluent in English or Spanish or whatever you're talking. And remember, David, the woman's like, well, you just need to ask them to come and teach you. We asked, they never came and talked to us.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I think it makes sense if you follow that rationale, like that as an extraterrestrial being, insofar as like, to assume that these are extraterrestrials, that means that they are so far advanced technologically than humanity, right? They've traveled vast distances. Mm-hmm. So in 1,000 years, if humanity is still alive, the technology difference will be insane. However, we can already assume the way we communicate now is definitely not the best way, right? We're
right.
making mouth noises with our bodies. We try to get the words out, that these simple words cover these concepts we have in our head.
Yeah.
The best way to communicate would be to not physically, but to put my thought into somebody else's head, right?
Or and even emotions. That point,
that's how I live my life, trying to do that. Right. But yeah.
And at that point, language is irrelevant. Language is something we make up. So like, if I can literally put my thought into your head, like you are interpreting it based on your experience and your language.
I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. Like we're putting the words to the imagery, or not 100%. Imagery, but the feelings, the thoughts. A lot of these things, a lot of my questions always fall upon the whole, I'm thinking of it with my understanding, which is
exactly that. Not and that's adequate. That right there, that you just said, is the whole goal of DocSci Media, is to get people to just try and think outside of their own experiences and maybe keep an open mind for some of these concepts and ideas.
And because of DocSci Media, I've learned that one of the goals of the Sasquatch is to get people to try marijuana, dude, because they're down for that.
Dude. Well, dude, I figured that's where your last question came from. A real deep bong rip. How are they doing this language? And it's like, Chris explained it well, or it's like, oh dude, it's Neuralink plus Google Translate, right? They're like, okay, you know, whatever the end user is. Yep. Just translate it into that for them.
Man, I tell you, it's, I wish my mind could grasp half the stuff that I wanted to grasp, because I love listening to this stuff. Then I feel like there's smoke coming out of my ears sometimes, because my rationale gets in the way, you know, and I fight myself.
We don't like completely say that we, you know, encourage marijuana use, but we don't discourage it either. I'll just say that.
There you go, right?
You know what I mean? Like that these thoughts
up for the Sasquatch.
Exactly. That's where we're at.
I was really hoping you guys couldn't hear that bong rip before.
Yeah, what was that? All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had to, you know, tell us, what's your over under? Is Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti? You think they're real and they're out there knocking on trees and throwing rocks at campers and stuff, or interdimensional? It doesn't, you don't need to pick what. Do you think they're out there? What's your 50-50, 60-40?
We'll both go. I'll go first, because I'm assuming Tyler probably has a different answer than me. I lean more in the Tom Carey camp. Gigantopithecus was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be extinct, it might not, but either way, if that thing was alive and in your living room, everyone would go, that's a freaking Bigfoot right now.
Yeah.
And so we already talked about the vastness of the world and these isolated places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go and you do hunting trips and stuff and you don't see anything, but those animals are all out there. They grew up in those environments. They know how to survive in them. They know how to hide. So there's a distinct possibility that there is something still like that out there. And that's kind of the way I lean. But that's my perspective. Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm like probably 90-10 that there is some sort of Sasquatch out there. Yeti. I mean, this stuff's like worldwide been cited and reported on for forever. And man, yeah, I'm more like in the Tom DeLonge camp. Like, I don't know what it could be like, dude. He's saying time's not linear, that mm-hmm. like it's parallel, and that, you know, that the past and future is all happening right now, along with the present, just at different frequencies.
Right.
Man. And so like, I'm open to all that stuff, which would, yeah, like, dude, Sasquatch could totally be interdimensional. Man. There's probably,
mm-hmm.
yeah, dude, I don't even know. I have trouble even like grasping interdimensionality.
Right. And I think stuff. That's norm. I think that's how we're supposed to be, because we don't. It's a big world out there. And I think mm-hmm. anyone who is hard no on anything they don't understand is foolish, just like the people that believe everything hook, line, and sinker. It's like we say, it's our tagline. The truth is out there, but you won't find it here. I don't know what's going on, but I sure like talking about it.
Yeah, hypothesizing about it is super fun. Interesting.
Right. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why you're talking to these people. That's why we do this show. I want to, just because I don't want to talk to people that have had the same interests and steps in life. You know, Dave and I do the show together. We're absolutely different people in a lot of ways. I'm handsome. He's hideous. You know, I'm awesome. And
works out.
That's enough comparison. But You guys get it. You know, there it's boring to live in an echo chamber. And what you guys are doing is awesome because you're letting other people come out and say, this is my life. This is stuff that you might not be privy to, but here's what I'm doing every day. And here's my experiences. Love it, hate it, don't believe it. This is my truth.
Dude, that's awesome. I appreciate your perspective that, and then you kind of shared the whole thing we're going for. So that's awesome to hear.
Well, that's, it's a lot of fun what you guys are doing. And speaking of fun, what's next? Do you have any other plans?
Yeah, man. So right now I'm almost done cutting In Plain Sight, the intelligence community and UFOs, which features some really interesting individuals. So we have Rick Doty on there. We have John Ramirez. I'll let Tyler expound upon them and their credentials. But that is another UFO documentary, but more about, actually goes down a lot about Roswell too, because Tom Perry's featured and he's like a Roswell expert. But we talk a lot about the government's involvement and cover-ups and stuff like that. So it's really really weird and interesting, and I'm really digging it. So that's almost being done cut.
That's
and
awesome.
That will be delivered to our distributor probably out 75 to 90 days, hopefully.
Excellent. Richard Doty, he's a buzzword. You love him or hate him.
He is. Dude, and yeah, I just think he's an interesting dude. Either way, you don't have to like him or whatever.
Nope,
but I think what he says is interesting.
And he's a member of that community, man. He's lived it. So yeah.
He's controversial for sure.
Trippy just like interviewing because man, like, yeah. Well, one, dude, the universe is so wild. Like, so I interviewed Richard Doty at Sue Walker's house.
Wow.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, I just finagled that just based on locations and timings and stuff. I'm like, hey, Sue, any chance if I pop into town on this day? And dude, it was wild. Like, I flew in. I think the flight got delayed. I got in super late, like around like midnight. Dude, I drove like 3.5-4 hours down to Roswell just so I could get some morning drone Roswell footage and like B-roll of the Roswell sign along a highway, you know, stuff that just ups the production value. Yeah. Cause I'm a nut like that. And then drove all the way back up to Albuquerque area and interviewed Richard there. And what was sick is like, dude, it's just nuts that the man's like former counterintelligence Air Force Office of Special Investigations. Like he comes off as very disarming. Genuine, affable.
I bet a lot of money was put into him learning to be that way.
Is that what they're trained to do?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. And then after, like, he was super, nice and responsive. Afterwards, I reached out about something, another interview for a different, maybe a remote viewing documentary, and hadn't heard back. But dude, I'll be darned if like a month and a half, 2 months after that, Chris and I are doing a pod, or no, I'm doing a podcast with like Deb's Data Jojo or something. And dude, I end the podcast and like, we're talking about Richard Doty. And like an hour later, I get a friend request on Facebook from my man.
Yep.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? What is going on, dude?
Yep. Yep.
And same with John Ramirez. When I show up to his place, he's like, the CIA, they're where you're coming. You know, they're cool with them. I'm like, wait, dude, this is just, this is tricky stuff. I'm living out a Jason Bourne movie, man.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for this. And we're going to have links to everywhere. So guys, go to the show notes. You can find all the links. You can sign the links to Dockside Media to watch the show. Please give them a follow. We'll have their Twitter, all their social media. Oh, Chris, Tyler, thank you so much. It's a lot of fun. And now all the other stuff you're doing, I'm looking so forward to it.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Brent. Thanks, David, so much for having us on.
Yeah, we'll keep sending ducks your way, guys.
We hope so.
Definitely. Thanks,
so we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with more Hysteria 51.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Getting those
more cowbells
in, making sure everyone is happy. Then they're like, the next week, I'm like, I fucking hate the bell. Why do you guys do that?
next sound to add is police siren.
But they're going to be the European ones because, you know, we're snooty like that. Anyway,
fun stuff.
Sam Squatch, man.
Sam Squatch.
I am waiting for the day that I wake up to like a missed call and a text, and it's like, it happened. I saw it. What? Bigfoot or a hairy guy coming out of Trader Joe's? One or the other. I'm not sure which. Because you're in like prime Bigfoot country.
I am. Yeah.
One of the few places where it really makes sense when they're like, I saw it right outside of Naperville, Illinois. Like, no, you didn't. But when they say, I saw it right outside of parts unknown Colorado. Yeah, that makes sense.
There's parts by Naperville that are pretty woodsy. Fermi Lab and that area is pretty woodsy.
Oh, man, Fermi Lab. And they got a bison range there, too. Fermi Lab's a gorgeous building as they're rooting for our demise and opening up black holes. At least it's pretty.
Huzzah! Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is we just physically saw our first bear about a month ago here.
Really?
And it was a black bear. Yeah, it was, you know, I would say 200 to 300 yards away back in the field behind our house and just moseying along the field and stopped and pooped and then kept going. But we had heard, you know, there's a mountain right behind our house, just a little bit further than that. And it's super wooded, and we've heard from neighbors here. They're like, you know, there's a giant bear that lives in there. And we only ever, you know, have seen him once or twice, but people carry, you know, guns and stuff to
they
scare
him
away
old
with.
Rapey. Let's just say you don't want to get caught in the woods with him. You but will like, live to tell the story, but you won't tell it.
Jeez, it sounds like you've already written this damn screenplay.
I've been out there 15 times. I ain't never seen them, the goddamn liars.
But like, would if you went out there to specifically look for these bears, what do you think your chances are of finding them? You know,
well, Lisa and I go to the Smoky Mountains every chance we get, and we stay up in the mountains. We stay in cabins. And one of the things, like in the Airbnbs, because we're staying in an actual cabin, like people's homes, and they have the check-in books, and what I was reading is like, everyone sees bears. Oh, I couldn't even drink my coffee on the porch because bear was out there trying to get in the hot tub. We never see him. So that's exactly funny. What are the chances?
But yeah, the point being, you know, they'll come to you or they'll come around to where you can see them. But if you go searching for them, you probably have to have a pretty good pedigree of tracking in the woods to figure out where they actually are. So I'm just trying to relate that to trying to find Sasquatch going out here to a place. And then if bears are just doing their thing, Sasquatch are trying to not be found from all intents and purposes that we've heard of, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, and that makes sense. Like, if you are look at so many animals that go undetected on accident, and then you have something that's smart enough to elude, to want to elude capture of any sort or even observation. That's an interesting thing.
Then you layer in the interdimensional aspect. If they can just slip into the upside down or wherever and then end up on a hill, you know, a 100 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's even worse.
I've been listening a lot to MJ Benias' new show that we had him on, you know, Fringe State Fringe, what is it called? Fringe Network Alien State. I'm terrible with names. It's been fantastic. And one of the, they do a deep dive into Skinwalker Ranch, which he's been to twice. He was the journalist who actually discovered who the owner was and broke that to the world, which Chris Cogswell and I had been talking about it. And we had talked about on here who we thought the owner was, which we were right before it actually came out.
Ooh.
But he was the one who broke it to the world. And then he was invited to go to the ranch. And then he's been out there for the show and talking about just the weird things that happen in the world. And, you know, it's crazy to say it's interdimensional or it can go through dimensions. And then you hear all the stuff that science and U.S. government was actually researching and you go, well, yeah, maybe, you know, because that's where our tax dollars went for a lot of it. You know, there is a lot of woo woo that the government has gone, yeah, maybe let's pour some money into that.
Yeah, yeah, and I believe that. And everything's compartmentalized, so, you know, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. And
yep, need to know basis. And even if you need to know, there's a chance you're not going to rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
They said Richard Doty. He's such a buzzword to me. I'm like, but I kind of, you know, I don't want to have him on the show, but fuck, I want to talk to the guy. You know, one of those things. Just an interesting character that is just in the middle of the whole UFO debacle, debate, everything with Paul Benowitz and what he did to that guy. And are you familiar with Richard Doty?
I am not as familiar as I should be, because when we were at Alien Con, I was like, hey, there's Richard Doty. I should go ask him if he wants to be on the show. And just because I was like, you know, he's a figure in ufology and stuff. And but apparently
no, a lot of people like having him and stuff. Keep going. Sorry. Apparently what?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Apparently since then I've learned that he's pretty far on into the cuckoo clock. Yeah, ready to pop out at any instant.
I just when he says my ass is on fire, I would get a mirror and a second opinion. You know what I mean? And that's if I was sweating because I was hot, you know? So take with that what you will. But yeah, this has been, you know, you guys make sure you check out Secrets of Sasquatch. It's a lot of fun. They're doing fun work and they're letting these people just tell their stories. And I don't know what it is about Sue Walker. She's a trip. She's fun to listen to. And she's just out there going, oh, yeah, I seen it, you know. And they told me, and her Twitter is a lot of fun. So make sure you guys check that out. And after you check it out, before, hopefully, because you're there every day, this like your morning coffee, you go to Hysteria Nation on Facebook. That is our Facebook discussion page, and you can talk to us about anything and everything. And also, if you want to talk to us, go to Discord. We got Discord. There's a link to it on Hysteria Nation. You can find it. Just go to Discord, look it up. You can talk about anything and everything on there. We've got just general discussion, and we've got meme groups, and I'm overdue for another movie night where we do our own, I wouldn't call it riffing because I'm not that funny, but we sit and talk about nasty, stupid shit while watching movies. Well, they're nasty, stupid movies. They're always 80s, you
nasty.
Know.
Nasty.
Stuff from like Tromaville and things like that. Also, tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod, Patreon for all sorts of goodies. Up all nights, mad blurry hysterias, just blurry, where David goes on there and he reads you bedtime stories that he's making up on the spot. He's never done that, but maybe we'll get him
while
to do
drunk.
That. While drunk. While drunk. And there I was. Wow, I don't know why she fucking swallowed a fly.
Perhaps she'll die.
She'll die. She deserves it. Voicemail. Two ways. Give us a call, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277, so we can do another voicemail episode. Or go to our website, hysteria51.com, and at the bottom right, there's a little microphone. Click the link. Make sure you have a microphone to talk into or do it on your phone. And you can leave us a voicemail through there. I think it cuts off after 90 seconds, so go willy-nilly. And tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a Sasquatch telepathically, and find out if they're familiar with Hysteria 51.
Yeah, and see what kind of emotion it implants in you.
What's the mental visual for, ugh,
Chokeweed.
Yeah, chokeweed. In case you're paying along at home, they call, supposedly the Sasquatch call marijuana chokeweed. Not to be confused with the chokeweed that grows. And not to be confused with blurry photos or quiz bang bang, what's going on in those universes.
Oh man, same old stuff. Just enjoying the summer months. I got some Australians going to be on Quiz Bang soon, an Australian Crikey. Versus Australian episode.
Nice.
Where two Americans write Australian questions. yeah, that's normal stuff. You can find them at quizbangpod.com and blurryphotos.org. Brent, is the voting still open for Paranormality?
So the nominations are until the 10th, so they won't be on one. But gotcha. The voting for the actual voting is going to be opening, and it might be open then. I don't 100% know. So if you go to our pages, we will have links when the voting is open, so you can vote for your favorite paranormal podcasts, which last year, Hysteria 51 won for Best Comedy Paranormal Podcast. So we would love to get your vote for that. And I'm sure Blurry Photos is going to be on there too. So please.
I doubt it.
I don't know that we're, I mean, we might not make it, but we're hopefully, because they're hopefully being nominated right now. So we would love to have your votes and see you in the winner's circle. Woo. Yeah. So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
And here's some tree knocking.
It was terrible. It is terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.